Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Rachel Wright. Very excited to be back again for a show. We're actually closing out a week of heat and humidity in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area today. So a little too humid today for the studio deck, so we're actually inside today enjoying the A.C. For those that listen every week to the show, thank you for continuing to listen. For those of you new to the show, welcome. A little bit about me for those that don't know me. I am a motivational speaker. I am the owner of Rachel Chats, insurance agent, volunteer, therapist, and kidney transplant recipient. Every week, I do a recap of last week's diabetic challenge, and I'm going to do that again today. Just like to mention that this week, actually, much calmer, but because I was out of the office most of the week, my eating choices were not as healthy as they could have been. I'm sure everyone has experienced that at a point in time. I ate way too much bread. Unfortunately, I am a lover of fresh bread. I also found myself eating out for breakfast and lunch, not once, but every day. Wow, I definitely had some struggles last week. I also did not carry the food diary, which I had mentioned I was going to start doing that. So that was another fail on my part. My first recording of the week when I actually picked up the book was Thursday. You know, the week is almost over, but I did reset, start recording, started Thursday evening. So I would have a better handle on the week going forward. Got back on track with the food diary. Got back on track with choosing more health and eating. So even though we did have a few fails last week, I did have consistency on taking the medications on schedule. Yay for that. I did see a few spikes in my glucose level, and that was normally before lunch and before dinner. Of course, doing the eating choices I was making weren't as healthy, but I did manage to stick on the breakfast schedule, 9 to 10, do lunch between 1 and 2, dinner between 5 and 6. I did make an adjustment, I think, on a Wednesday when I found myself eating a little later. So I just pushed back everything by 1 hour. That seemed to work. Also, I noticed that I did not have a snack in the evening, which I normally do. I had more of a snack midday. So that did keep the glucose levels in range and intact for that time. It's been, as I said, very hot all week. We didn't really have a relief until, you know, I guess it's going to start into tonight, going into the rest of the week, where we're going to be looking at mid-80s. I had to increase my water consumption and actually limited my daily salt intake, and that really helped, I found, with the digestion problems that I mentioned last week that I was having. So that seems to have subsided. I didn't have any issues this morning when I had breakfast, no acid reflux or anything like that. The doctor had told me to still continue on my regimen of acid reflux in the evening, and just to make sure that I wasn't delaying any dinner meals too late, because the food would not have a chance to digest. So now on to today's topic, which is kidney disease and depression. Before I get into it, I'm just going to start off by giving a definition of depression. Per a Google search I did, list depression as a feeling of severe despondency and dejection. Psychiatric definition that was given was a feeling of severe despondency and dejection, typically also with feelings of inadequacy and guilt, often accompanied by a lack of energy and disturbance of appetite. I think if we look at the definition, we'll find that actually anyone could suffer with depression. If we just look at it on face value and it just says you're despondent, you're dejected, anybody could suffer from that. I think the key factor is, are you able to recover when you are suffering from feelings of inadequacy? Are you able to bounce back from that feeling? I think that's the determination if you're suffering from depression. If it's lasting a longer period of time than it might normally last. I can say that when I was first diagnosed with kidney disease at the age of 16, I didn't really have a feeling of depression. I think the feeling was just of overwhelming, what do I do now? And I didn't think beyond that feeling. So that was with my first diagnosis. Also, I did have a support system in place, parents, grandmother, aunt, that talked to me every day about what it means to be diagnosed with a debilitating illness. So I think that helped in my initial diagnosis and not suffering from any type of depression. I think the foundation given during childhood, I had parents that were always encouraging, grandparents that were always encouraging, aunts, uncles that were always encouraging. And so I really did not see a sense of panic or a sense of fear when it came to the diagnosis of kidney disease. So I think that did help me in looking at coping with my initial diagnosis. So as we go through my childhood, through adulthood, and before I started on dialysis, I did experience a crisis. I don't know if I have ever talked to anyone about this, of the feeling that I had before going on the first dialysis. I know that you can hear the doctor say, okay, at some point in time, you will need to go on dialysis. Okay, that's all well and good until you get to a point where your kidney function shuts down and now the doctor is saying, in 2 to 3 days, you're going to go on dialysis. I was hospitalized because my kidneys were percent, and I was having increasing swelling in legs, joints, and also having high blood pressure. At this point, the doctor said, you know, your kidneys are below what's considered functional, and the next step will be dialysis. Even though in my mind, when I was first diagnosed, I can remember thinking, that's somewhere off the line. Like, I think maybe 10, 20 years that we're, you know, talking, that's, you know, in the future. And that's what it was. I think it was maybe 10 or 10 years that we were actually looking at. So at that point, you're not really focused on anything that's going to happen immediately. You're thinking of the future. But before I was wheeled down to the dialysis unit, I can remember, you know, just thinking, why is this happening to me? Why in the prime of my life is this happening? I did not understand how this could be happening. I had so much going on, so much that I wanted to do, and I just questioned why. What was the purpose? What was my life purpose? I felt like I did not have a life purpose, and I also felt like there was no, why continue? What was the point of continuing? And I did have suicidal thoughts, did have thoughts of hurting myself. I did have thoughts of just leaving. I was like, I'll just walk out. I'll just put on my clothes, walk out of the hospital, and just go on my merry way. You know, no one will know where I am. No one will know what has happened to me. And I was just at a point where I did not want to continue with life. I felt my life was over. I did not have any spiritual guidance. I felt that, you know, the spiritual guidance that I had left. I did not have any reason to go forward with my life. What was the point of going forward? So I was really in a place of self-isolation. I did not want to talk to family. I did not want to talk to friends about the situation. I withdrew. You know, every inch of my fiber was telling me, just leave. It's no reason to continue on. I could not see a future for myself. And I can remember being in the hospital, and I can remember my aunt not knowing how I was suffering inside. You know, my thing to say through everything was always, I'm fine. So you can appear fine on the outside, but on the inside, it'll be a little bit different. And I can remember, you know, her holding my hand and, you know, like it was yesterday. And I just started to cry, and I just started to tell her what I was suffering from and how I felt that there was no return from it. You know, I just felt like I was not going to make it through dialysis. I was not going to, you know, go to dialysis. If I did go, that, you know, I would not make it through. And I remember that day she held my hand and she let me cry big crocodile tears. and that she just prayed over my situation and just prayed over me. And I felt a sense of relief, one, because I had not shared this with anyone. I kept it inside how frightened and scared I was. I did not talk to family or friends or anyone about what was going on with me. I felt that it was just a recognition that I was somehow weak and that I was supposed to be strong. And I did not feel like a strong person. I did not feel like I could continue on. I don't think I've ever shared that situation with anyone. I've always presented, when I was diagnosed going into dialysis, that I was fine. As I always said, I'm fine. No issues. I was fine. Once that happened with my aunt, I actually felt hopeful, where I felt before a hopelessness. I actually felt there was something to look forward to. I had not felt that before, that there was anything to look forward to. I actually felt there was something to look forward to, and I actually felt as though the diagnosis had been a blessing, because there was treatment in place for my illness. A lot of debilitating illnesses, there are no treatments available, no medicines that you can take to reverse anything. You have a diagnosis, and they might give you treatment options that perhaps may or may not extend your life. But for myself, I did have options. So I think that was the first time where I started feeling hopeful for the future and hopeful for the coming years. Even as I continued on dialysis until I did get a kidney transplant, you have to evolve. You cannot continue to do the same things that you have, what I found that has changed in my life since my kidney transplant. I look at situations and people in a whole different light than I did in the past, and definitely feel more hopeful, more blessed, and thankful that I have been given another opportunity. There were some symptoms that I did experience during the first dialysis when I had thoughts. And, you know, I did have trouble sleeping. I could not concentrate on classes or work. Those were the two things that I found to be consistent. When I'm actually looking at the symptoms provided by the American Psychiatric Association, I noticed that I did have some symptoms that were listed. So those two, but they also list having a feeling of sadness or having a depressed mood. There might be a loss of interest or pleasure in activities that you once enjoyed, changes in your appetite, maybe a weight loss or gain that's unrelated to dieting, loss of energy, or some increased fatigue, an increase in purposeless physical activity. Maybe you're just pacing back and forth, or maybe your speech has become slowed. Maybe your movements have become slowed. A feeling of worthless or guilty feeling, and having thoughts of death or suicide. The average person, maybe you've had some of these symptoms, but you notice that the symptoms may have resolved if you're saying that symptoms are lasting at least 2 weeks, that's normally what it takes for them to get a diagnosis of depression. And what they will do is generally put you on medication for treatment. Maybe they'll put you on an antidepressant for mood swings. Maybe they will recommend psychotherapy, or maybe they might recommend electroconvulsive therapy, which is an electric shock treatment. It's very important to get help, either talking to a friend or family member, contacting your primary care physician. If you don't have a primary care physician, go to your local urgent care, your local hospital. And if you feel like you're suffering an immediate crisis, of course, always call 911. I do have a couple of contacts to be referred to a medical professional, or if you're experiencing suicidal thoughts, contact the American Psychiatric Association. They can refer you to a psychiatrist. Their number is 888-357-7924, or contact the National Suicide Prevention Line at 800-723-8255. Again, they are not sponsoring this message. Appearances can be very deceiving. People can suffer internally without anyone ever knowing until it's too late. It's very important to check on one another. Maybe there's family member, friend, neighbor, maybe your coworker. Maybe just you have not spoken to them in a while. I know everyone gets busy with everyday life, of course. You forget, time goes by. You mean to call, you mean to send a card, but then, you know, 2019 rolls around and you haven't communicated with the person. I know I'm guilty of this. I've said, I'm going to reach out, I'm going to call. And then that moment passes by. I get busy, it doesn't happen. Just the other day, I had a friend tell me, just call me. And, you know, my response to her was, I text, I email, I tag you on social media. That's the same thing. And she said, you know, it's not the same thing as hearing my voice over the phone. Being able to listen to her concerns, to laugh, to cry at a situation that she might be dealing with. I actually never thought of it that way. I was doing what was most comfortable for me, but not what she needed from me as her friend. As I look back on it, of course it was comfortable for me. I didn't have to go out of my way to do anything different. Just normally operate as I normally do, but sometimes that's not the best way. So today I would say, you know, call a relative, call a friend, call someone you haven't spoken to in a while. You'll be surprised how hearing your voice can just bring a smile to them and just make a difference in their life. In order to move forward, I think we all have to recognize that we're in this together. If you want to hire me to speak at your event, host an event, or partner with me on a business venture, you can contact me on Facebook, and that is Rachel Wright, Twitter at Rachel Chats, Instagram at Rachel W. Chats, or on my website at www.rachelchats.com, or give me a call, 301-693-7792. I want to thank everyone for listening to the show today. I'll be back next Saturday, which is the 25th. The month is going by really quickly, and that's at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Next week's show, I'm going to do something a little differently. I'm going to do a Q&A on kidney disease and on me, so you can ask me any question on kidney disease. You can ask any question about me that you want to ask, anything. We will go over the question and answers on Facebook, so just post them to me on my Facebook page. I want to thank Candace George at Entrepreneurs Empower again for the opportunity to host my own show. And just wanted to say to everyone, have a great day and be right. Thank you so much. Thank you.